Radio Prague News.
The Prime Minister has fired his advisor who insinuated that President Klaus was a coward. The Czech Labour and Social Affairs Minister has dismissed his deputy charged with bribery. And Czech NGOs have criticised draft legislation on Czech citizenship for being too strict to foreigners. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has fired one of his advisers who insinuated that President Václav Klaus was a coward. Referring to Mr. Klaus's reflection of Friday's incident when a disgruntled man fired plastic pellets at him, Mr. Joch wrote on his blog that the head of state was a whining, Kremlin-loving wimp. Prime Minister Nečas distanced himself from Mr. Joch's words and said all contracts between him and the government had been cancelled. On Friday, President Klaus became a target of a communist sympathizer who fired plastic pellets at him from an air gun during a ceremony in the northern town of Chrastava. Mr. Klaus said he considered the incident an unprecedented attack against the head of state, which reflected the poor state of the society. The Czech Minister of Labour and Social Affairs Jaromír Drábek on Tuesday dismissed his deputy Vlastimil Šiška, whom the police have charged with bribery. Mr. Drábek from the Topo 9 party said he felt full political responsibility for giving him the job and added that if Mr. Šiška is proven guilty, he would himself step down from his post. The police have charged Deputy Labour and Social Affairs Minister Vlastimil Šiška and another official at the ministry with bribery but have not yet released any details as to the nature of their allegedly criminal activities. Several Czech NGOs working in the field of migration on Tuesday criticized draft government legislation on Czech citizenship for being too strict. In a letter to Prime Minister Petr Nečas, representatives of the NGOs asked the government to exclude passages of the bill that give authorities too much power over foreigners. The consortium of migrants assisting organizations said the legislation increased the number of conditions foreigners need to meet to become Czech citizens, while other measures were too vague. The NGOs, however, welcomed some features of the bill, such as the possibility of dual citizenship. The government is scheduled to debate the draft legislation on Wednesday. Customs officials confiscated 50 liters of homemade cherry brandy last week containing deadly methyl alcohol. The owner had bought 20 liters of distillate from a door-to-door seller but sent samples to a laboratory to test the beverages for methanol. The police have warned people against buying any alcohol from door-to-door sellers. The recent outbreak of methanol poisoning has claimed the lives of 27 people while dozens of others were intoxicated. In response, the government introduced a ban on spirit sales, which was lifted last week. Some 1.4 million Czech women, or two-fifths of the female population aged between 18 and 65, have at some point in their lives faced some form of domestic violence, according to a new study by the Prague-based Pro-Fem group released on Tuesday. The study shows that the most common form of domestic violence is repeated humiliation, followed by sexual aggression, stalking and threats. Only around 10% of the victims have reported home violence to the police. The authors of the study said that alarmingly, only around half of the victims recognized that their partner's attacks were domestic violence. The Krnov-based organ maker Rieger Klaus Varhany has begun working on a large pipe organ for a concert hall in the Chinese city of Jinan, the firm's manager Jakub Škrhel told the news agency ČTK on Tuesday. The large instrument with 88 registers will be worth around 1.2 million euro. After its completion, it will be dismantled and shipped to China, where it should arrive next summer, Mr. Škrhel said. This will be the second pipe organ made by the Czech firm for a Chinese client. The first was delivered to the city of Tianjin. In tennis, the finals of the Davis Cup between the Czech Republic and Spain will be played in Prague's O2 Arena on November 16th to 18th. The organizers have reached a deal with the arena management, who agreed to hold a dance party originally planned for the 17th of November on another date. The O2 Arena will also host the finals of Women's Fed Cup, in which the Czech Republic will face Serbia on the 3rd and 4th of November. And in football, Czech national side captain Tomáš Rosický has not fully recovered from his Achilles heel injury and will miss the team's World Cup qualifiers against Malta and Bulgaria, national team manager Michal Bílek said on Tuesday. The 31-year-old Arsenal FC and Czech international midfielder missed the Czech's first qualifying game against Denmark in September, which ended in a 0-0 draw. Manager Bilek will also miss the injured midfielders Václav Pilař and Daniel Kolář, as well as the striker Tomáš Nesit in the upcoming World Cup qualification games. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The coming days will be mostly clear with some cloudy spots and occasional fog. Daytime highs will reach a maximum of 21 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's show, the coalition government has been hit by a new scandal less than 2 weeks before regional and Senate elections. We'll look at the possible impact. The dates have been set for the country's first ever direct presidential election. And be sure to stay with us for another edition of Spotlight. This time we visit the town of Stará Boleslav, northeast of Prague. That's all coming up. A fresh corruption scandal has hit the Czech coalition government less than a fortnight ahead of October's regional and Senate elections, and this time the police struck higher than ever before in the echelons of executive power. On Monday, plainclothes officers detained Deputy Labour and Social Affairs Minister Vladimír Šiška and the ministry's IT section head Milan Hoyer. Both were later charged with bribery. The news has sent shockwaves through the ruling Top 09 party, which on Tuesday met to debate the crisis. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
It was a black Monday for Labour and Social Affairs Minister Jaromír Drábek. Plainclothes officers turned up at the ministry early in the morning and led away his right-hand man and long-time close associate, Deputy Minister Vladimír Šiška, together with the ministry's head of IT, Milan Hoyer. According to the minister, no explanation was offered as the police went about their business, leaving stunned employees speculating about the cause of their visit. A spokesman for the anti-corruption police provided a terse explanation several hours later, confirming the ministry's worst fears.
The two officials have been charged with bribery in connection with public procurement and irregularities in announcing a public tender.
The police have so far refused to say which tender this concerns, who the men are suspected of having bribed, or how much money was involved. According to media speculation, it could be any of half a dozen costly tenders masterminded by Deputy Minister Šiška, including a controversial 65 million crown contract on a study proposing systemic changes at the ministry, which according to the Anti-Corruption Fund was handed to a firm linked to Šiška's close aide, and a controversial tender for the introduction of a new IT system as a means of paying out welfare benefits, which has come under severe criticism. Vladimír Šiška himself has previously been investigated by the police on suspicion of conflict of interests after the power giant CEZ accused him of trying to sell them overpriced shares in a firm in which he had a stake. Fortunately for him, the case was closed for lack of evidence. Visibly shaken by the latest developments, Minister Drábek was called to give an explanation to the Prime Minister on Monday night and attend a crisis meeting of his party's leadership on Tuesday. Following the meeting, the minister announced he was dismissing Šiška from his post.
On the basis of 9 years of close cooperation with Vladimír Šiška, I remain fully convinced of his innocence. However, should his guilt be proven beyond doubt, then I will take responsibility for my choice of deputy and will resign from the post of Labour and Social Affairs Minister.
The announcement stilled calls from the regions for the minister's immediate resignation, and Top 09 leader Karel Schwarzenberg publicly threw his weight behind the minister at Tuesday's press briefing in Prague. However, the grey faces at the press conference revealed just how serious a blow this was to the party ahead of the regional and Senate elections, and how little room there was left for any kind of damage mitigation.
Daniela Lazareva reporting there on a fresh scandal in government. And if you've been following that story as it broke and would like to comment, please do so by writing to us here at Radio Prague. The address to write to, as always, is english@radio.cz. Also, you can take part for sure in discussion on Facebook or Twitter. So do comment, do let us know what you think. In January 2013, Czechs will, for the first time in history, elect their president directly. Polling stations will open on January 11th for the first round of voting. The second round will take place 2 weeks later, the Speaker of the Czech Senate has announced. 25 people have so far expressed an interest in running for the office of Czech president, but only 6 of them have actually met the legal requirements to date to become the successor to Václav Klaus. Jan Richter reports.
Some presidential hopefuls launched their campaigns months ago, but it has only now become clear when the actual election will be held. The Speaker of the Czech Senate, Milan Štěch, on Monday announced that the first round of voting will be held on Friday, the 11th of January, and Saturday, the 12th of January. If no candidate receives a majority, 2 candidates with the most votes will advance to the runoff second round. That will take place 2 weeks after the first round, on Friday, January the 25th, and Saturday, the 26th. The Speaker of the Senate, Milan Štěch, who is under the Constitution entitled to set the date for the presidential election, chose the first available date. As he explained, any later term would collide with some school children's spring holidays, which would make it difficult for their parents to vote. 25 people have to date announced they would run for office, but only 6 have met the conditions set down by the Constitution, either to collect 50,000 signatures in support of their bid, or get nominated by a group of 10 senators or 20 MPs. Those who did meet the requirements include Czech Foreign Minister and head of the Topo 9 party Karel Schwarzenberg, Deputy Speaker of the Senate, Civic Democrat Přemysl Sobotka, Social Democrat Senator Jiří Dienstbier, former Social Democrat Prime Minister Miloš Zeman, another former Prime Minister Jan Fischer, and former Member of European Parliament Jana Bobošíková. Some of the candidates have already launched their election campaigns, but political analyst Jiří Pehe expects that things will get more interesting later on in the race.
In general, I think that the campaign will become much more interesting before the second round, because in the first round, the candidates will simply try to present their own profiles, their own views, ideas. But in the second round, they will have to somehow deal with the other contender. And I think at that stage, the campaign will really become much more intense.
Opinion surveys mostly favor Jan Fischer and Miloš Zeman, but Mr. Pehe says that no matter who becomes the next Czech president, his or her position will be very different from that of their predecessors in office, Václav Havel and Václav Klaus.
The next president will be the first, what I would call, post-revolutionary president. What I mean by this is that both Václav Havel and Václav Klaus were the products of history, so to speak. They were important figures in their own right, and they had constitutional powers on the one hand, but they also had a lot of informal influence. I think that the next president will have to be much more down to earth, and will have to play a role which is much less prominent than the roles played by Václav Havel and Václav Klaus.
Just like in the general elections, Czech expats living abroad will also have a chance to cast their ballots in the first ever presidential vote. To be able to do so, those with permanent residence in the Czech Republic will have to ask the local authorities for a voting card. Those without will have to register with the Czech embassy or consulate no later than 40 days before the election. The choice of the date for the first round of the presidential election also means that the country's public broadcasters, Czech TV and Czech Radio, will start broadcasting campaign video and audio clips on the 26th of December, at a time when many Czechs are glued to their TV screens watching fairy tales and other Christmas programming. Marketing experts believe this might raise the interest of the public in what the individual candidates have to offer, and also eventually increase the turnout at the polls.
Jan Richter reporting there on the country's first ever direct presidential election, and it should certainly be interesting to see who the final candidates will be who get enough support either from MPs or senators or by attaining 50,000 signatures. So that coming up in January. Again, if you've been watching developments there or are curious or would like to comment on who you think should be the next president of the Czech Republic, let us know what you think. English@radio.cz. Now we turn, though, to today's main feature, which is Spotlight. We visit the town of Stará Boleslav. It has a remarkable history. Notably, it's the site where Prince Wenceslas was slain, being an important moment in the history of Bohemia. Pavla Horáková
has more.
The Saint Wenceslas hymn has been a kind of unofficial anthem of the Czech lands for many centuries. This 12th century piece of music begs the patron saint of the country to plead with God on behalf of the Czech nation. According to legend, Prince Wenceslas was slain by his own brother in the small town of Stará Boleslav, just northeast of Prague, where we will travel today. The fratricide is believed to have happened in the year 935 or 929. It is not even clear whether Boleslav, the younger brother of Wenceslas, was the murderer or whether he just did not prevent the killing from happening. Although there were disputes between the two brothers regarding the process of Christianization of the country and its relation to its western neighbors, we will probably never know whether Wenceslas's death was the result of a conspiracy or just an accident. Local historian Nina Nováková.
Svatý Václav nebo kníže Václav byl zavražděn pravděpodobně v roce 935.
St. Wenceslas or Prince Wenceslas was murdered probably in 935, but possibly in 929, right at the doorway of the old church of St. Cosmas and Damian. Here in St. Wenceslas Basilica, you can actually see the authentic spot, which today is decorated with a sculpture by Matthias Bernard Braun. It depicts one of the versions of the killing of St. Wenceslas. Prince Wenceslas is seeking refuge in the church. He is holding on to a door handle and his brother Boleslav is looming over him, about to murder him.
Jednu variantu si vybral Matthias Bernard Braun.
Soon after his death, Prince Wenceslas was worshipped as a martyr, and his cult grew strong mainly in the 11th century. The place of his death became a popular pilgrimage site.
Ve Staré Boleslavi jsou ve vzdálenosti asi 100 metrů od sebe dva poutní chrámy.
There are two pilgrimage churches in Stará Boleslav within 100 meters of each other. One is St. Wenceslas Basilica. The basilica actually incorporates an older church from Wenceslas times, that is the Church of St. Cosmas and Damian. Today there is a crypt in its place. A few dozen meters away there is the pilgrimage church of the Ascension of the Virgin Mary.
Takzvaným paládiem země české.
Today Stará Boleslav is one half of a town with the longest name in this country, Brandýs nad Labem, Stará Boleslav. The two towns were merged in the 1960s. While Brandýs was first founded sometime around 1300, Stará Boleslav arose about 400 years earlier.
Historie Staré Boleslavy ale je starší, my bychom asi měli vidět.
The history of Stará Boleslav is much older. We should look at the town in the context of Central European history. We know that the first historical member of the Přemysl dynasty, Prince Botivoj, who was the grandfather of Wenceslas, regarded this settlement and a few nearby fortresses as the centers of the emerging Přemysl princedom in Bohemia, besides Prague, of course. The name Boleslav comes from Wenceslas' brother, who built modern stone ramparts around the town.
It is Prince Boleslav, St. Wenceslas' younger brother, whom legend and history accuses of murdering his elder sibling. But what happened on September the 28th, 935, remains unclear. Nina Nováková.
V Boleslavi se tedy uskutečnila ta bratrovražda, kterou...
It was in Boleslav where the fratricide took place, which has been so defining for the history of the Czech nation. One version says that Wenceslas had been invited here by his brother to attend a baptism ceremony. Another says he came to celebrate St. Cosmas and Damian Day, which fell on September the 27th. September the 29th used to be Archangel Michael Day, and interestingly, Wenceslas mentioned him before his death. The day in between had no religious significance, so it is quite interesting that the day in between actually became St. Wenceslas Day.
St. Wenceslas is perhaps the best-loved Czech saint. He was a martyr, one of the patron saints of this country, and a character who played a key role in the formation of the Czech state throughout the last millennium. It appears his spiritual legacy is more powerful than the prince himself was during his short life of 28 years.
Rozhodně Václav jako kníže Václav v první polovině 10. století.
The real Prince Wenceslas from the first half of the 10th century did not historically have the same significance as his legend and his spiritual character, which never ceased ruling the country. Emperor Charles IV himself confirmed that. He said that the St. Wenceslas crown, one of the Czech king's coronation paraphernalia, is merely lent to rulers, but it still belongs to Wenceslas. As a patron saint, he has influenced our history more than he did as a prince who endorsed some kind of foreign policy.
Jako vládce, který prosazoval nějakou zahraniční politiku.
The years since the fall of communism have seen a rebirth of the St. Wenceslas cult, and as local historian Nina Nováková says, Stará Boleslav has once again become a pilgrimage site for believers.
Jsme opravdu hrozně rádi, že mohlo dojít, tedy že došlo.
We're very happy that the National St. Wenceslas Pilgrimage has been re-established. For the third time in a row, the Archbishop of Prague, Kardinal Miloslav Vlk, has allowed the most precious Czech religious relic, the skull of Prince Wenceslas, to be transported to the scene of the murder. It is quite unusual because since Wenceslas' remains were moved to Prague Castle on the orders of his brother Boleslav, the skull only found its way back as late as the 14th century in the times of Charles IV, and then again in 1929 for the millennium celebrations. Now it has been brought back three times in the last 3 years. The skull is placed in the crypt on the eve of St. Wenceslas Day, and priests celebrate a vigil and pray along with the cardinal. In the morning, the cardinal carries the skull in his own hands from the authentic place of the murder to the town square, where a holy mass is celebrated. So the returns of St. Wenceslas seem to be eternal.
Ty návraty knížete Václava jsou zřejmě věčné.
You've been listening to Spotlight with Pavla Horáková, coming to you from the town of Stará Boleslav, not far from Prague. That edition of Spotlight was first broadcast in 2007. Just a quick reminder now, if you're interested in things going on in the Czech Republic, you'll always find more news and stories at our website, as always, radio.cz. So do look us up on the internet. All of our programs are archived. You can listen in sound or just read if you prefer. So we're on the net, radio.cz. I'm afraid we're just about out of time, though. I'm Jan Vellinger. For myself and for all my colleagues here at Radio Prague, we want to say thank you for joining us this day, and take care.